One of the most interesting and original aspects of this novel is the way that Guy Fieni traces her heroine's evolution from a lamenting lover to a critical social observer. The letters that she writes to Azar serve in part to express her feelings for him, but also to communicate her growing intellectual maturity. In letter 20, more or less halfway through the novel, these two sides are brought together. Azilia begins to comment on the French society she observes, a society characterized above all by seeming, by appearance. Things are not as they appear, any more than she, Zilia, as a heroine, is not quite what she has appeared to be. She's still concerned that she's regarded by others as a quaint curiosity, but the reader can see her evolving now into a much more confident observer. She's already growing beyond the help which D'Iterville's sister Céline can provide her with. Céline has no intellectual ambitions at all, but Zilia has, and we see her longing to read all the books that she's slowly discovering. And we can see too her gradual mastery of language as she introduces more balanced sentences and periods into her writing. This is one of the first appearances of the new heroine. Although all feelings of shame are unknown to me, which do not spring from a fault I have committed, although I can tell how foolish it is to have such feelings for reasons outside my will or control, I cannot help suffering at what others think of me. This pain would be unbearable if I had no hope that one day your generosity will enable me to reward those who humiliate me in spite of myself through acts of kindness which I had thought to be to my honour. It is not that Céline doesn't do all she can to ease my concerns in this respect, but what I see and what I learn of the people of this country tends to make me wary of their words. Their virtues, my dearest Azar, have no more reality than their riches. Furniture, which I thought to be made of gold, is gold only on the surface. Its true substance is wood. In the same way, what they call politeness thinly covers their shortcomings with an outward show of virtue. But with a little attention, one can uncover its falseness just as easily as one can discern the emptiness of their displays of wealth. I owe some of this knowledge to a kind of writing they call books. Although I still have much trouble understanding what they contain, they are very useful to me. I learn basic notions from them. Céline explains to me what she knows of them, and I can then draw conclusions which I think are sound. Some of these books teach what men have done, others what they have thought. I cannot tell you, my dearest Azar, what incomparable pleasure it would give me to read them, if I could understand them better, nor how much I long to know some of the divine men who compose them. I can see that they are to the soul what the sun is to the earth, and that I would find in their company all the enlightenment, all the help I need. But I can see no hope of ever finding such satisfaction. Although Céline reads quite often, she is not sufficiently knowledgeable to satisfy me. She had barely considered that books were made by men. She doesn't know their names, or even if they are still alive. I shall bring you, my dearest Azar, all that I can collect together of these wonderful works. I shall explain them to you in our language. I shall taste the supreme happiness of bringing a new pleasure to the one I love. Alas, shall I ever be able to do so?